Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I'm joined by Rachel from Account Ant, which is a very good play on words that I've literally just only realised what it is. So thanks for joining me today. Love you, all right?
Yeah, great, thank you. Nice to meet you, Carla.
Nice to meet you.
I've been Instagram stalking you for a while, listening to your stuff, so...
I like it when people have actually listened to it, because then obviously they know that it's not like, sometimes it can be a bit daunting, can't it, like when you're doing things when you've never done it before, but at least you know that I'm not going to fire you with loads of questions. So tell me first a bit about like what you do and how you started, you know, what gave you the idea and inspiration to do it.
Okay, so I set up Account Ant officially just actually a few months ago, after it being a side hustle for a few years. And over the like May bank holiday, I was like, right, okay, let's come up with a name, make this all official. And obviously my husband is to thank for the name, because he was like, I've got it.
It's Account brilliant, Ant. Right? I love it.
Like, oh, yay. Actually, yeah, that's quite cool. So we stuck with that. And why I set up was I saw that quite a lot of small businesses struggle with understanding their accountants. And when you think of an accountant, it's quite grey, it's quite boring. My earphone's just falling out. And, you know, oh, where are you going?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Right, okay. Something's gone wrong with my earphones. Can you hear a weird sound?
No.
Okay. So it's quite grey and it's quite... Oh, do you know what? I'm really sorry, but my husband's music has started playing in my earphone. I'm going to have to take it out.
Just take him out. Do it without it.
Oh, crikey. Yeah. So... I'll just leave one in so I can hear you. Yeah, so anyway, what I was saying was, when you think of an accountant, they're all like a bit grey, a bit boring, blank offices, you know, and talking like words that people don't understand.
Like jargon.
Sheet, profit and loss, you know, it doesn't really mean anything to anyone. So what I've tried to do is make it more interesting. And part of the thing that I do is I write blog posts that are little stories based on real world scenarios. So I'm trying to put it into real life. So because the story format is really conversational, it's really easy to understand. And it's like how I would talk to someone.
Yeah.
Normally. And I'm getting great feedback from that. And I'm getting clients from it.
Yeah, like the thing is, like that's the biggest, I totally agree with you there, because like with insurance as well, it's, what even is it, like the way that you talk about it, or you've always been told to speak about it, is as if, you know, it's something they need to try and understand, when really, if they actually could relate to it instantly, they would understand why they'd need it, rather than them, oh, I don't really get it, I don't really understand what it is. Like life insurance, I call love cover, because it's what even is life insurance, you know, you're not, it's not protecting your life, you're doing it because you want to leave money for your family. So it's for those you love. So automatically people like to just receive it better when you put it in an understandable, relatable way. So like the storytelling, it'd obviously be a lot better than saying, I've helped X amount of people achieve X amount of this, which to most people won't mean a thing.
Yeah.
So how has it been then since you've like started? Like how have you, what were you doing previously before you took the plunge? Like,
well, I've been in account since I was 19, which is like nearly 20 years now. I say that really quietly. So I've been qualified for 10 years and I've just been an accountant, like a, you know, company accountant and things, you know, feeling like a small cog in a really big wheel. Whereas when you help the small businesses, it's more, what's the word?
Rewarding.
Rewarding. Because you know, when you see them flourish and grow, that's your success as well.
Yeah.
And I'm always cheering them on. And I'm always thinking, and if I see anything that might relate, I just quickly WhatsApp them and say, have you seen this grant? You know, let's apply for it, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
And how have you, like, obviously, have you just been mainly working from home? Like, what's your, is your office based at the house, like, in terms of the children as well? Or, like, how many children do you have?
I've got the one. Who's three, he's called Xander. So he goes to nursery a few days a week, which gives me some quiet time to just get on with working. And yeah, I'm based at home. People come to see me and we have like coffee and cake. And
oh, have you been doing face-to-face as well then?
Yeah, we managed to do a couple.
Do you prefer that to doing virtual?
Yeah, although virtual is like more of a thing now, isn't it? A couple of years ago, like if someone asked you to get on a video call, you'd be like, oh, you know,
yeah,
I don't want to do it. But yeah, I've managed to do a couple of virtual and a couple of close to home. Like if someone lives in the same village as me, you know, we'll either pop around to them and have a quick chat in their garden, or they can come around here. Or if they're like Leeds way, right, well,
so if you like
traffic, let's go.
Have you tried to like, is it been a transition, like obviously with you working in a company before, have you struggled like now working on your own? Or has it been, have you found it all right? Like sometimes people miss that office like environment.
Yeah, to a certain extent it can be a bit solitary, but you find your little mates that are doing the same thing as you. I mean, like later on I'm going to go and meet someone who I used to work with who's set up on his own as well, just to have a chat and, you know, just a brainstorm thing. So you do still have like your community, it's just different.
Yeah. And is it something that you want to try and grow to be where you're going to have your own type of office, you're going to have your own office and your own staff, or are you concentrating on just growing it like with yourself?
Well, I think I've got like plans for the next, let's say, 5 years. So by next September, when it's school time, I want to be like steady away and about ready to employ like a bookkeeper or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking like maybe year five, I've got like an office with like, I don't know, five staff, something like that. So
yeah, so you want to be going, you want to be getting out where you're going to have your own office as well. I'm stuck between, like, because I love being able to work from home, but at the same time, like, there is a nice thing about getting up and going to work, like going to an office and knowing that there's a separation between where you work and where you live. I think if you can get a balance right, it's great. And obviously it works amazing with the kids, but I don't know whether you perform better when you're in an office environment, not an office environment, but in a working environment that is purely just, you know, mentally when you go, you know, you're there because you're working. Whereas when I'm in the house, some arms out, end up doing something else, doing the washing or procrastinating on something that isn't about work. So it can be a bit distracting sometimes as well.
Yeah, I get that. But what I've tried to do is, because we're always doing something on the house, because, you know, when we bought it, it needed lots of work doing to it. So I sorted out the spare room like last week and put my desk up and stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, it's so nice to have some like workspace, because then previously it was like, oh, you know, I'll just get my laptop out in the conservatory, or like at the kitchen table, or, you know, on the couch.
Yeah. So now you've got your own actual space.
Yeah. So I'm like, I am actually trying to think, right, okay, when I go into that room, that's my work area. I'm not doing any like shopping.
Yeah.
Or
no Amazon.
Yeah.
I always do it on the same nightmare. My problem is I switch between 20 different things at once. So I'll be in the middle of looking for something on Amazon, and then I'll start reading an email, and then I'll go, that's what I mean. Like I flit, I need to learn how to stop doing that, because to just concentrate on doing one thing and finishing it. So what for you in terms of like work, your working career, what's been the hardest, most difficult challenge you've had?
So what I've been I've started reading like loads of businessy capital books recently, and there was one that I was reading, please don't ask me the name of the author because I've totally forgotten, sorry, about horizons. So everything you do, you're kind of like looking at the horizon and trying to reach that goal, only to get there and see another one.
Yeah.
So everything's like a challenge, but it's always, you know, a step in the right direction. Sometimes you take a step backwards, but it's not usually one that's one to worry about too much. So for instance, like before you write your first blog, or you record your first podcast, or you like you make your first Instagram reel, it all feels really daunting.
Yeah.
But before, if you hadn't have done that in the first place, you'd never get to number 100. And once you've done it, it feels like you've actually achieved something. So then you're on to the next challenge and the next challenge and the next challenge. So to answer your question, I think the hardest thing has been to be brave enough to actually like challenge the status quo and try and be different with my brand and my approach and have that spark and to try and just be a bit different. But you're always going to get criticism from people. I mean, that's just the way of the world, isn't it? But if you don't stand out nowadays, you'll just end up being samey and not really getting anywhere.
It's about making as well, like you yourself being happy with what you've done and what you've achieved. Like for me, a year ago, I'd have probably done things because that's the way I thought I should do it, rather than the way I wanted to do it. And even though I might have still achieved success, I wouldn't have been completely satisfied, because I know I wouldn't have been doing what I actually really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And there's an element of freedom and feeling liberated when you just think, fuck it, I'm going to do what I want, end of. Like, I'm going to get in a superwoman costume and I'm going to advertise insurance because I want him. And that's what I think I should do for my brand. And it works. Like, the amount of people who said to me, you know, from people in the industry to clients who said, it's not professional, it doesn't give off the right like impression, made me feel like, obviously it doesn't feel nice and you start doubting yourself, but I was like, no, I'm going to keep going with it. And honestly, the difference it's had to the business is unbelievable, but not just on a figure level, but on like my confidence. Like, I know that if I'm doing something now, I trust what I think and I trust my gut. And if I don't think that it's right, then I'm not doing it. Because like you said there, when you've done it once, the first time you shit yourself, the second time it's a little bit better, the third time, fourth time, it ends up being where you're just like, you're confident and you're comfortable in what you're saying, which is for me, that's success that people need to try and strive towards, because then everything else will fall into place around you. Rather than just thinking, I'm trying to go for this, or I'm trying to earn this. You can always earn money. Like, you can. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. There's ways of earning money. But to earn money in a happy state and fulfilled state is priceless, in my opinion. That's how I try it.
Yeah. Because there's that saying that, like, if you do what you love, you don't work a day in your life.
Yeah.
To some extent, it is true, but you still have to work.
Yeah. And everyone has bad days, don't they? Like, it's not going to be sunshine and roses all the time. Like, I absolutely love insurance, but there's some times where I want to smash the computer off my head because I've got a difficult case, or I've got a frustrating, like, situation that I can't get past. Everyone has ups and downs days, but on majority, if you love what you're doing, then you're going to be more passionate about it and you're going to enjoy it. How do you juggle then, like, working and motherhood, and like, where is your little one gonna come into play with that? Like, have you, because obviously you've started the business when they're still like relatively young, so you how have they handled that?
Oh yeah, totally fine. Because I'm just in like the early days. What I do is I send him to nursery a couple of days a week because I think it's really important to him for him to socialize with kids his own age. And I think in the last year, a lot of children haven't had the opportunity to do that so much. So jump at the chance to let him play toys with his friends. Yeah. And he's in the big boy class as of today.
Oh, is he?
At nursery, so it was a bit emotional. Yeah. But
also, you ought to be the same age as my daughter then. Because she...
Probably three.
Yeah, not but she... I mean, like the same school thing, because Alba was there last year at nursery, but I was having to pay for it. Like, she was at a school nursery, but I was paying for it because she was under three. But today's her actual first day of where you get some hours free, because she's three in that term. Like, she starts reception next year. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, does he like it? Does he like going?
Yeah, he does. There's some days where he's a bit of a grump and doesn't want to play toys, but I think today, because he's going in the big boy room, he's really jazzed about it.
Okay.
He's like talking about what he was going to do and stuff. So that was pretty cute.
Yeah, Alba was crying. She didn't want to go. I felt awful. I didn't take her in because I was like, she plays up more for me. So I said, my husband took her. I just said, I can't. It'll upset me if I take her. Like, whereas I've just spoke to him then. I said, was she all right? He went, yeah, she was a bit quiet, but she went in. Whereas if I'd have been there, she'd have been crying, saying, I don't want to go. And I can't bear forcing her to go. When my eldest, when Jackson was little, he was only about two, I think, about one and a half. He started nursery when I was at uni. And I used to take him and he sobbed. He used to cling to me. And I used to stand in the corridor and cry and like wait 5 minutes and then like put my head around and check he was actually like still breathing and he was all right, like he'd calmed down. But they calm down. Like, I know if Alba kicked off when she went into school, she might cry, but the second she's in school, she's all right. But
yeah,
there's no worse than like sending them when they don't want to go and you're like, no, you've got to go, like,
yeah, and they don't.
She's like, mommy, I just be home with you. I was like, no, you can't, babe, I'm working.
But yeah, you know, he is my reason. I mean, parenting is hard. You know, I don't think that anyone really understands until they've had children, like what it's like. Because I know myself, I had rose tinted spectacles on before I gave birth. You know, I thought I was going to go for mammoth walks and go blackberry picking when he was like 2 weeks old. But that was just not realistic at all, because, you know, we were still up all night and starting our day at 11. But he's totally like, I can't remember a time without him.
Yeah.
He's the catalyst for everything. You know, like, I've started this now, like, officially. Like I said, it's been a side hustle for like years, but like, it's officially got a name and everything. But he's the catalyst, because I'm like, right, okay, by the time you go to school, I will not have to think too hard about holidays and stuff like that, because when you're employed, you know, you've got those 6 week holidays to work out, and
yeah,
it's a holiday every 6 weeks, and it's like, I don't actually know how people do it. They must be superhuman to manage all those holidays and like juggle the kids and stuff. So
you know, that it's
the horrific, ideal situation is you can
pick
when you want. You know, you have to work still, but it's more flexible, isn't it?
Yeah, like it definitely is. Like I've done the 40 hours a week with three kids and from working, and them obviously being at school. Like that was the main reason why I left and started, because I was just like, I originally left to go part-time because I was just like, I need more flexibility and I want to pick what I work. But it's awful. And at the end of it, that's what I mean, you end up resenting what you're doing, because you haven't got the actual choice to be able to, you know, most people want to spend more time with the children when they're off work, when they're off school. No one wants to go to work every day in 6 weeks. But like, next year I've made a promise to myself and to the kids that from them being off, I won't work. I'll only work a Monday for the 6 weeks, because I'm going to prepare for the next, because I need to, because it was horrible, like, watching them play in the garden and I'm in the office and them not understanding why, like, especially Alba, like, not understanding why I can't go and play. So you've just got to make sacrifices certain places. Like, I might have to work a little bit harder through the other months, but they're at school. Mm. So it doesn't, you know, it's not taking my time away from them too much. So
yeah, because it's so important, isn't it, to spend the time with them, because that's what they'll remember. They won't remember, like, not necessarily like the house you lived in or the car that you had. They'll remember like the fun times you had, even if it's like just running around the garden shooting water pistols.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Why did you love accountancy then? Like, how did you actually get into doing accountancy? And like, because you've been doing it 20 years, like, just actually still like it?
Yeah, well, the thing is, right, I didn't go to uni. I just did an apprenticeship, like a business and admin MVQ,
mm-hmm.
straight out of school. Had my first job when I was still 15.
I'll say you, Emily. My apprentice has just started yesterday, and she's literally started doing business admin. Yeah. 16. She come for like interview, like when she just left school. Like,
yeah.
I did as well. I think it's class doing an apprenticeship because it just gets you straight into work and life, doesn't it? But go on, sorry, carry on.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about the uni debt. I mean, yeah, there's upsides and downsides to it, isn't there? So then, like, after a few jobs, and like at one point I was a receptionist stroke secretarial, and I was waiting for one of the chartered surveyors to come in from the pub, you know, client meeting, at like 5:30, and I finished at 5 to finish his letters, and I was like, I don't want this till I'm 65.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just bottom of the rung kind of situation. And I'd started like tinkering with Sage when I was at that job, and I was like, do you know what, I actually really like this. It's, you know, some brain work. It's, you know, I like it. So then I started looking for finance jobs, and I just took it one step at a time.
So did you do your accountancy, like your training, whilst you were working as well?
Yeah. So I did AAT when we still lived in Manchester, and that took about 2.5 years, something like that. You know, evenings, weekends, full on.
Proper slog.
And then we moved over here, and I got like assisting accountant role and started SEMA. And yeah, that took about 3 years. And again, like evenings, weekends. And I can't imagine doing that with children. I've got friends that are now sitting like SEMA or ACCA or something like that, or even, you know, studying whatever. And it's like, you know, we thought we were hard done by having to do so much work of the evenings, and every weekend you'd be going, like spending your holidays studying. Well, how do you do that with a kid?
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Ouch.
Honestly, it's hilarious. Like, one of my friends has just had a baby like a few months ago, and like in that group of my friends, no one else had kids, but I've always like worked and like I've always just been like a million miles an hour, but I've always had kids as well. I had Jackson when I was 20, and she a couple of weeks after having the baby, she went, honestly, she said, I've got a new level of respect for you, she said, because how you've done that, she said, I don't understand. And I was just laughing. I went, how hard is it? She was like, no, I don't understand, because I'd say, oh, I can't because of this, this, and they'd be like, oh, stop it, like don't be like that, or can you just do this? And she said, like, I can't believe that I didn't really, like, no one prepares you for how hard it is and how much you have to, like, getting dressed isn't 10 minutes anymore, getting dressed is like an hour and a half, or having some breakfast or a cup of tea. It's not a 10-minute thing, it's now a 2-hour thing. Like, no one prepares you for it. So, like, she was just, it was so not funny. Like, I loved it. I found it so endearing. So I was like, oh, it's so, like, it's true though. You can't experience it until you're actually in it. Like, you can talk about it and you can tell people, but they don't actually get it till you're doing it.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a great meme that I've seen, which is like, if you're trying to prepare your friend for doing nappies, try and put a nappy on a cat. And it was like, do you know what? That's really accurate. And like the meme's like, you know, you didn't tell me it was so hard. And you just go, meow. You know, yeah, you know, it does take ages. I mean, it's easier once they can like stand up and stuff, and but then it's like, oh, I don't want to wear this and I don't want to wear that. It's like,
oh yeah, the sassiness. Honestly, Alba got up the other day and she like, obviously the lads weren't like that. The lads weren't bothered. They're still not bothered really. Alba, I literally pinged my eyes open and she woke up, went to her bedroom, come back. She picked out a white and black play suit with spots on it, a white pair of socks and a black pair of shoes. And she's got an obsession with everything matching. She's like, see, matches. And I was like, all right, fair play. It's all right. I'll accept that. That's not the worst outfit I've seen. And then she come back in and she had a matching bobble to go with it. And I was like, Albert, everything doesn't have to match. And she was like, no, the colours have to match. So today, because her uniform's navy and it's navy top, navy bottoms, navy socks, her shoes are black. And I was like, she was like, I don't want to wear them. They're not matching. I said, Albert, I can't get your navy shoes, babe. And she was like, no, but it's not matching. Doesn't look at my top. It doesn't match my top. And I was like, I'm talking down to her hair slides. Like, look, show you. Like, she made me put this in my hair so I matched her. Like, she's got an obsession with everything looking the same. So she was having a fit this morning because the were black shoes and not navy. And I couldn't explain. She didn't understand that it couldn't just be matching. So, like, although they get like more independent and it's better because you're not having to be up through the night or like wiping their ass every 5 minutes, I've also now got the sassy cow who demands everything the way she wants it. Basically, she's me at 3-year-old and I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably a good job I don't have a girl.
Oh, boys are so much easier. So much easier.
Well, like, they're also like very clingy though, do you know? They just want cuddles all the time. I mean, I love him to pieces. He is like my world. But sometimes it's like, can you just not be on me?
Yeah.
For 5 minutes. I need cuddles. I'm like, yeah, and I really love your cuddles, babe, but I just need to do something.
Yeah, I need to have another arm for a second. Yeah. No, but it is the art, like boys are so loving. Alba is dead loving, but she's just, I've never experienced, this is brand new territory for me, this, like, and my friends who've got girls were like, wait if you have a daughter. And I didn't believe them because again, you don't know until you're in that situation what it's like. And now I'm like, oh my god, I went to the park the other week and I said, wow, like a girl is another, it's a whole new ball game. Like I told you, the absolute cows, like they literally don't listen to what you say. They want to do what they want to do. They know better than you. They know the right at everything, and you've just got to like bite your tongue and be like, they're three, they don't understand the three. And I'm really struggle because I'm so impatient. So if you could teach, obviously if you could show or help like your little and understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, how would you want to do that, and what do you think you would like them to take from you?
So I'd like him to know that everything I do is like 98% for him, but also like 2% for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is my catalyst and for getting on with like my own ideas and stuff. But I want him to understand that I yearned to spend more time with him, but also to achieve something for myself. And that's not something to be begrudge, you know. Everyone wants something for themselves, like to achieve their goals. You should always have ambition.
Definitely.
You shouldn't limit yourself, because there's a great big world out there. You just got to go and have a go and try to not have any regrets.
Yeah. Definitely, I love that. I think that's really good. I'd rather regret something I've done than something I never did.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
I love that one. So if people want to know more about you, or like, where's best to find you? Like, what's your social platform go to?
Oh, I would say it's probably Facebook. So I'm down as Account Aunt Yorkshire on Facebook, and I post like my blogs on there and stuff. I am trying to get better at Instagram. I do use it a lot personally,
yeah.
But it's one of those, like, I haven't really posted much. I think I posted like touristy pictures from when we went out the week.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Not worky stuff. I'm trying to get better at LinkedIn. So
LinkedIn's really good. LinkedIn, honestly, I can't shout enough to people, especially like in your industry. Like, yeah. But there's loads of good. One of my, she's become a friend to me now, Francesca on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's really, really, like, she's so real, and her, I think she was one of the six, she was about number six or seven of these episodes. She's class, but she, if you look at like the way she does, she's an accountant, but the way she does it is like similar to what you said. She wants it, she wants to be relatable, she wants people to know she's a human, and if they want to work with a human, they'll work with someone like her because they get on with her and they like how she is, rather than, you know, being able to do it online or through a business, getting that like sort of personal feel. So yeah, she's really, really good to have a look, to have a look at. I love LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's one of these where I do need to get on it because I've been following Leah Turner for a while and I'm like, oh yeah,
she's amazing as well. She was on as well a couple of weeks ago. She does the digital, you should do the digital course. That's really good. Anyone, I should say that really, anyone who is looking to get better at LinkedIn, the digital course that Leah Turner does is so good value for money. Like, it's amazing. It's like in a bio and things on Instagram and LinkedIn, but she is incredible at what she does. Incredible. She just smashes everything, doesn't she? Like, the way, and her attitude is just like, she is what she is. And it's brilliant. It's so refreshing. So, yeah. So thank you so much for your time today. Obviously, if anyone does want to get in touch or learn more, understand it more, to look at your Facebook and read your blogs, because that is, I think that's really good to be able to get your head around more rather than jargon. So hopefully it'll help some people. Thank you very much. So thank you very much today, love.
All right. Yeah. Good to meet you, Carla.